With us now, a guy who's had a firm grip on our Colson and Colson Diamond Duel tournament coverage, Rob Polinsky, who had the call for the Division I softball regional semifinal earlier today between Elyria and Parma over at Clyde. And tomorrow, he's on the call for the Division I baseball contest between Avon and Medina over at Tri-C. Rob, thanks for giving us some of your time here. It's been a busy day for you so far. And, well, let's talk about that Elyria-Parma game a little bit earlier today. Elyria advancing with a 6-2 victory over at Clyde. What really stood out to you in that game?
I think a couple of things, Bull. First off, good to be here with you. First and foremost, we're glad we snuck that one in.
Yeah.
And thankfully that Ryan Greenslade and the people over at Clyde had the foresight. They saw the forecast ahead of time. Elyria was scheduled to play at 2. The next game was going to be at 5. They used their heads. They got it and said, let's go noon and 2 and try to get them in. The Elyria game got done. I don't know about the other game. It was raining as we were leaving. They were playing in the rain. So I don't know if that Whitmer-Springfield game went final. But this is the first softball game I've seen this year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And what impressed me, a couple things, was Izzy St. Peter, a freshman on the mound for Elyria. And the moment was not too big for her as a freshman, first and foremost. She kept her team in the game, held a good hitting Parma team to 2 runs. This young Elyria team, they are just resilient. They hit. They hit as a team, and you're thinking, okay, they're going up against this Andrea Scally, who's got crazy good numbers, and she's a Kent State recruit. She's a senior. She's going on a full ride, so she's the real deal. She's a power pitcher. And Elyria gets 6 runs on 9 hits. They get a hit in every inning except the fourth. That's the only inning they went out 1-2-3. April Hauser, a junior shortstop, had an unbelievable game. She came in, Bull, hitting .538 with 3 homers and 27 RBIs. She had a home run, a triple, and 5 RBIs.
Wow.
2-for-2 with 2 sacrifice flies. April Hauser had a great game. Everybody in the lineup had a hit except 2 young ladies. So top to bottom, the lineup came through against a really quality pitcher. The other thing that stood out for me, Bull, no errors for Elyria. 3 errors for Parma. And the scores were generous because not only were there 3 errors for Parma, they had some misplays, some plays they didn't make that don't count as a physical error. They gave Elyria extra outs, and Elyria made them pay throughout the afternoon. So really, really impressed with Elyria, with Ken Fenech's team.
Well, yeah, and if you take the errors into consideration in a game that was decided by 4 runs, 3 errors, that's a huge, huge difference. Not to mention, you know, the elements certainly come into play here. You talked about how when you left, the game that came right after yours, they experienced at least a little bit of rain, but I think there was certainly a lot left out there, not knowing if they were going to be able to complete that game or not between Toledo, Whitmer, and Springfield as well. But the elements certainly have to be discussed. I mean, I don't know if you guys got any sprinkles at all in your game, but look, I mean, with all that we've experienced over the last 12 to 24 hours and what we might experience over the next couple of days here, I mean, you just never know how the elements are going to affect the field of play.
Well, one thing that affected, we really never had rain. It looked like it a couple times, you know, it got spit on a couple of times, nothing serious, but what really happened, those winds were really whipping and they were going out to the outfield. So balls were flying, balls were carrying. That really put an emphasis on the pitchers. Elyria was able to time up Scally for the most part, and they put a lot of balls in play. They like I said, Hauser hit a home run. They hit several deep balls. They hit some balls over the Parma outfielders, and maybe they were playing too shallow, especially for the conditions. Parma had a solo home run. Another thing that impressed me, Elyria had a 3-1 lead in the 5th inning. Julius Cepas for Parma, who's their leadoff hitter, top of the order, I should say, she comes to the plate with 1 out. She hits a solo home run, makes it a 3-2 game. Then the next young lady walks. Then they bring up their 3 hitter, Scally. They intentionally walk her. Then the 4 batter, they walk her. Now the bases are loaded. Elyria's up 1 run. Parma's got all the momentum, and their dugout is chirping and making a lot of noise. They're really into the game, as they should be. It's 3-2 with 1 out and the bases loaded. And Izzy St. Peter, that freshman pitcher, induces 2 fielder choice groundouts to end the inning. And then Elyria came up in the top of the 6th and immediately tacked on a huge insurance run to make it a 4-2 game. So I thought the game, when it was in the 5th inning and Parma had that chance to take the tie or I should say tie the game or even take the lead. When they couldn't do that, when St. Peter and the defense for Elyria shut the door, you know, that was huge to me. Elyria got timely hitting today. Parma, for the most part, did not. Elyria, 6 runs, 9 hits, no errors, left 6 on base. Parma, 2 runs, 4 hits, 3 errors. They left 8 on base.
Wow. That's impressive stuff. I mean, if we can go back to Izzy St. Peter for just a second here, because I know that was one of the first names that you kind of singled out. Only a freshman. Right. Boy, and the poise to be able to come through in that situation. And you're right, but it's a game of momentum. It's a game of momentum shifts. And to be able to get out of that jam that she got out of, then the offense responds that very next half inning. What was it about St. Peter that made her so good in this game? Was she keeping them off balance? A lot of first pitch strikes. What exactly was it that made her so successful?
You know, she struck out 8. She had a lot of different things going, and I'm not a pitching coach, so I don't exactly know the pitches she's throwing, but her fastball was good. She had good location. She used a changeup effective, but I just think the biggest thing was her poise and the fact that nothing bothered her. And yes, Parma created some traffic. They got a run in the very first inning. And you know, and left base runners on. They left base runners on in every inning except 2.
Wow.
So, you know, that impressed me. And just the fact that she was not a power pitcher. She struck out 8, but still that means 13 balls were put in play that were made out. So the defense came through and made plays when they had to. It wasn't like she struck out 15 girls. She struck out 8. But I think that what really impressed me, and I got to go back to it, but when the bases are loaded, she just gives up a home run and then 3 walks. Granted, one of them is intentional. You would think, okay, this freshman, here's where it's going to go. And she battled back, and then she retires those next 2 on fielder's choices, and they go on, and she retires 8 of the last 9 batters in the game. There was just a leadoff single in the sixth inning. Other than that, she had retired the final 8 batters. So,
wow.
Her poise and then her team's defense behind her, they really were good. When you looked at some of the stats, you know, Elyria had 87 stolen bases as a team. Parma had 16. So I think Elyria, you know, likes to manufacture that. And it's not just stolen bases, Bull, but they pressure you all over the place. They're scoring on short sacrifice flies. They had a young lady try to bunt in the first or second inning. She bunts, pops it up. A play is made in foul territory by the first baseman for Parma. She's running in to make the catch. The girl at first tagged up and beat the throw to second.
Wow.
Who does that?
Wow.
So, I mean, just heads up, aggressive base running all day long. I think sometimes when people see base running, they just look at stolen bases. It's not just that. When throws go in the home, taking the extra base, if you throw to third, the girl around first taking second, and Elyria did that all afternoon long.
Well, those are base running intangibles that you just can't necessarily measure with numbers. I think you're exactly right about that. There are so many different ways you can affect a game, and I think that's a big one because you're right. There are a lot of different scenarios you can draw up. For example, if you get a base hit to right field with runners on second and third, if you know that by getting yourself caught up in a rundown between first and second, sacrificing yourself, buying enough time for a run like that to score, I'm not sure if there's a stat out there, at least at the high school level, I know there's not, to quantify just how big that can be. You're right. Heads up, base running, intangibles on the base paths, those are things, especially at the high school level, you kind of have to see and be there for in order to understand just how big of an impact that can have. And in a 4-run game, in a game like this, that certainly makes a huge, huge difference, especially like you said, in a game where it just kind of looked like that momentum was going to shift from Elyria over to Parma.
The other thing that kind of surprised me was Parma starts 6 seniors. Elyria starts 2. Elyria starts 4 freshmen, not just St. Peter in the circle. And yet Elyria played like the team that had been there, that had the experience, and that didn't let the moment get too big from them. Parma had 3 errors, and then they misplayed a lot of plays. And so you would have thought that the roles were reversed. And maybe Parma, first time ever in the regional, maybe that they had some jitters, and you can understand that. But for this Elyria group, unless you're a senior, and Maddie Cruzado transferred, so she doesn't count, but De'Ara Hammonds is the only senior in the starting lineup that would have been at Clyde, and I can't remember back to whether she played as a freshman or not. So all these other young ladies, going to Clyde for them was the first time because Elyria had not been to the regional since 2014. but it didn't look like it. They came ready to play. They were focused. You know, we got there 2.5 hours before the game. Leary was already there.
Wow.
Parma comes rolling in at 11 a.m. an hour before the game. I don't know if it has anything to do with it. I even asked Ken Fennett, because we had plenty of time, 2.5 hours before the game. I asked him, do you normally get here this early? And he said, yeah, we do. It takes us 1.5 hours to warm up. Want to feed the girls, want to this, that, and the other. They have a routine, and it showed. They really, really played well today. It'll be interesting to see how they do in the final on Saturday, no matter who they play bowl, because Whitmer was the 5 seed that won the Bowling Green District, and Holland Springfield is the 4 seed that won the Maumee District. So those are both kind of surprises to get to this point, and whoever survives that, they're going to have to play good softball on Saturday. Or Saturday, you know, could be Elyria's 12th regional championship under Ken Fennick.
Wow. Impressive numbers for sure. We're talking with Rob Polinsky here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Rob had the call of Elyria's 6-2 win over Parma earlier today, and Rob will be back in Clyde on Saturday at high noon when Elyria takes on the winner of Whitmer and Springfield. Before we cut you loose, Rob, just want to ask you very quickly about the game that you're calling tomorrow, Division I High School Baseball Tournament action. Avon taking on Medina. Now, I know you saw Avon last week, and we don't know much about Medina. I know right now they're about a 500 team, but, boy, Avon has had a pretty impressive season. And I know you got the chance to see them last week in their win over Amherst. What was it about you – what was it about Avon that really stood out to you?
In that district final, you know, that they play small ball, and if you make a mistake, they take advantage of it. Their pitchers pitch out of some jams. They didn't get rattled. They made the plays they had to make. It was a very close game, could have went either way. Avon won that over Amherst 2-1. Avon and Medina played in the regular season. Now, albeit it was a non-conference regular season baseball game, so non-conference baseball games, teams don't normally throw their number one or two pitcher. All I know is Avon won the game 4-3 in the seventh inning. Medina was an out away from winning that game. Avon comes in 23-5. Medina 15-15. Medina the 7th seed out of the Barberton District, and Avon was the 2 seed at Lorain. I know that Medina really was 18-12. They had to forfeit 3 out of state games that they won. They had to forfeit that for whatever reason.
Okay.
So if you take those away, now you're 18-12. But still, that's a lot of losses. But part of that is the conference that Medina plays in for baseball is a really good conference, probably better than what Avon sees day in and day out in the SWC. Certainly at the top of the league, there's some really good teams with Amherst Steel and Berea Mid Park and Midview and some of those schools. But I got to think that day in, day out, Medina might see some better competition. Maybe they came in under the radar a little bit, 7th seed, but some of that, again, I think had to do with those forfeits. Should be a really interesting game, and Avon has never been this far. They've never been to the regional. So how are they going to handle that? What will the weather be like tomorrow? And, you know, those will be some of the factors that we'll have to see how it plays out. But, you know, both teams really have a good chance. Don't let those records deceive you. This is a close matchup. This could go either way, and both teams really have a chance, you know, you would think, to possibly get through. You've got Strongsville and Perrysburg on the other side, and that's kind of to my point of who Medina plays. Medina and Strongsville are in the same conference. Solon's in that league, who went through it undefeated, got defeated in the district final. There's a lot of good teams in the Greater Cleveland Conference in baseball. So that edge may slightly go to Medina, but we'll have to wait and see. That Avon team impressed me because they beat a very good Amherst Steel team. I think a team that a lot of people thought had a chance to not only make some noise, but possibly even get to Columbus.
Well, we look forward to the call tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Rob will have it for you here on AM 930 WEOL. He'll be on Stream 2 to start, but it'll be on AM 930 WEOL to finish it because of all the scheduling conflicts we have
here.
Well,
I got to ask you something here.
Sure.
We bring in, now, Matt Douglas, we send him to Massillon. He does the game. They send me to Clyde. I do the game. There's a pattern here. Now, what's your deal? You were supposed to be in. Why can't you work today? I don't get this. I mean, Matt does what he's supposed to do. I do what I'm supposed to do. And you're sitting here and you don't, you know, you're supposed to tell us how Keystone did today. I don't know what the deal is.
I did a rain dance in Tiffin. I was able to pull some strings. Let me tell you, it's tough, tough stuff. Rob,
so have fun there tomorrow.
I will try, my friend. Thanks for the time, as always. Look forward to the call tomorrow.
Anytime.
All righty. Bullseye on the Afternoon continues after this on AM 930 WEO.